It's actually, I'll dangle it again. If you keep coming back, I'll keep dangling it as long as it's necessary. All right, I want to welcome everyone. Thank you again for coming. L'chol mazinim. And this is Emunah Part 2, dealing with Revelation. And once again, was sponsored this year by Becky Navikatz, Le'ila Nishmas Yonah ben Rab Aryeh Leib. So I thank them very much for their sponsorship. All right, so this tonight about Revelation in general. We'll touch on the revelation at Sinai. We'll return to that transformative event in greater detail maybe next week. So we ended last week with a discussion of the various philosophical proofs for God's existence. All of them valid, but as Rav Avinair wrote in Yotzer Or, a lot of these proofs convince the already convinced. And of course, this is intentional. An absolute laboratory-tested proof is not only impossible, dealing with a non-physical creator, but it's also unwanted. It would undo man's capacity for free choice. We'll discuss that also later in the year. That's built into creation. It's that capacity for free choice that both makes us human and also allows us to perfect ourselves. That's how we grow. That's how we develop. We challenge ourselves. We have to fully internalize all the ramifications of the existence of God. We have to keep growing, and it's the perfection of our soul, we'll discuss this also later on, it's the perfection of our soul that enables us to have eternal life in Olam Haba, in the next world. So I'm driving on Route 4, and they have these signs from Holy Name Hospital heading west, right over here, right off the highway. So every time I drive by, Shimmy Tenenbaum's face is there, which is fine. But yesterday I was driving, and they had, of all things, Catholic Hospital, a statement from Rav Nachman of Breslov. Holy Name is really branching out. So the statement was, if you're the same tomorrow as you are today, what need is there for tomorrow? All right, think about it. It's a good aphorism designed to drive you off the road and go somewhere that's more important. But nonetheless, that's what Bechira Chofshis does for us. It enables us to keep growing, to keep learning, to keep changing, and always coming closer to Hashem. Now, those proofs that we mentioned last week also have in common, for the most part, their universality. We saw many of them emerge from non-Jewish philosophers in their writings, and we adapted them for our purposes. There's nothing uniquely Jewish about them, although many of them sound some sound true. Certainly, they're very reasonable, and although we adapt them, but there's another means that God used to verify His existence that began with us and ultimately defines our relationship with God as well. Had a question? Yeah. Do I consider the Bible codes a proof of God's existence? Well, in a sense, it's a proof of the Chochmas HaTorah, so it's indirectly a proof. But I think that, look, certain things are uncanny. I'll grant you that. But a lot of the Bible codes are very good at demonstrating the past. They're not very good at demonstrating the future. Because if you know what you're looking for, you can find it. All right, it's not going to tell you when the Jets will next win a game. You know, this decade, another decade, that you're not going to find any of the codes. So the codes are very good retrospectively. They're not so good prospectively.
But taking into account that some of these happenstances are like, you know, probabilities 1 divided by 10 to the 50th power. I mean, it's insane when you go from one after another.
Yes, that's correct. I've seen it. I read the book on it. You know, to me, it's part of hafoch ba vafoch ba decholo ba. All right, turn and turn in the Torah, because it's all in it. Of course, you have to know where to look, and that will put in the realm of like the gematrios par pros lechochma. It's like dessert. Is it essential? No. You know, I read they tried to do the same thing with Shakespeare. One day is they did, and one day is they didn't. So it depends what you read. I can't imagine it would be the same thing, all right? But look, I mean, the Chochmas Hashem is infinite. Is such a thing possible? I'll grant you that it's possible, absolutely possible. No reason why it wouldn't be. But it's an unreliable measure of trying to ascertain what we should do in the world or future events. It's unreliable. It's much more reliable in finding the past, right? And it's a whole genre. I mean, the social scientists speak about this today, that what we think is an amazing coincidence, and how often does it happen? I remember, I think it was Gladwell who wrote this. How often does it happen that you think about someone that you haven't seen in a long time, and you bump into them that afternoon? How often does that happen?
Frequently.
It can't be that frequently. But why? It's because you don't factor in how many hundreds and hundreds of people you think about, and then you don't see them. So when the one person comes, of course, that you do think of, it registers on the mind. So therefore, it's a mixed bag. All these things are helpful. I would say, though, like the other proofs, they convince, they're already convinced. There's something that's different, and that's our subject tonight, and that's Gilu Shechina. So Gilu Shechina brings us in the first instance to Avram Avinu. As Chazal said, Ha'adam Hagadol Ba'anakim, the man who was the giant among giants. And Avram Avinu was a very unique figure in the annals of the world. To many, he is one of the most revered figures in human history, still, all right, for reasons which still trouble us, part of this week and next week, etc. We share Avram with the other religions of the world, but if you just tally up the number of people who revere Avram, it's quite a lot. It's more than half the globe, if not closer to two-thirds of the globe. He's a very special individual, and he, of course, is the founder of our people. Interestingly, the Rambam says that Avram himself followed the path of the philosophers. Yes?
I'm saying that I'm not so sure that Islam would agree with that.
In terms of... Why, you don't think the Muslims revere Avram?
I thought that the whole reason why it's Chari Yitzchak that they daven is because I'm a Jew. That's why.
No. The fact is they call the Marsa Machpelah Masjila al-Ibrahimi. It's called the Mosque of Abraham. So, they do name a lot of kids Ibrahim. Not all of them are up to good, tell you that much, but we have a lot of Ibrahims in the world today. In any event, Avram Avinu followed the path of the philosophers, as we discussed last week, speculating on the existence of God long before he merited a divine revelation. So Avram's career in this really began as a child long before Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. And the Rambam describes this, and it's this week's sedra, it's appropriate to talk about, at the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Chachamim, Perek Aleph. It's at the end of Halacha Beis. Rambam goes to the history of the world, how idolatry developed, and then he says, "Avol tzur ha'olamim lo hayashum adam shayamakiro v'lo yodo el yichidim ba'olam." After the flood, or before and after the flood, only individuals really recognize the true nature of God, and the Rambam lists them: Chanoch, Misushelach, Noach, Shem, Ve'ever. This is how the world continued to develop. Until the pillar of the world was born, and that's Avram, our father. And now Halacha Gimel, the critical Halacha Gimel. Once this powerful person was weaned, meaning he came of age, he started to ponder. And he was still a young person. He would think day and night about the nature of God, the universe, life. Oh yeah, Tamei was puzzled. How is it possible that the earth keeps rotating? The heavens are in motion without some entity putting it in motion. How is it possible? Nothing can turn itself. Nothing can move itself. And this is Avram's greatness. He didn't have a teacher. No one taught him anything. He was sunk, immersed drowning in Urkastim, Bein Ovdei Kochavim HaTipshim, between foolish idolaters, Ve'aviv, Imo, his mother, his father, Ve'chola Ovdei Kochavim, and he was just going along with the crowd. But his heart was turbulent. Always, his mind was always in motion, thinking and thinking. Until he discovered on his own the way of truth, and he realized what binds the world together. Yesham Eloka Echod. V'maniga Galgal. V'bara Hakol. V'embuchala Nimtza Eloa Chutz Mimenu. He realized on his own. There's one God, he's the Manig, he guides everything, he created everything, and there's nothing in existence that's real except for him. The Yoda Shekol Olam Toim, and he knew the whole world was in error. Usually people think the whole world is wrong, but for them, problem. Not Avram. And he realized also the whole trajectory, like the Rambam says in Halacha Aleph, how it came about that the world started to worship idols. That of course Adam knew of God, and of course Shais knew of God, but already by the generation of Enosh, they talked themselves into believing that God is the Creator, but the Creator has certain ministers in his world, especially the Son. And these ministers are also worthy to be worshipped, because obviously the Creator bestowed powers on them. Until, as the centuries unfolded, they just forgot about the Creator and knew of only the sun and the moon and all the other natural entities. Avram knew that was wrong. He was 40 years old when he recognized his Creator. Here the Ravid says, quotes a Medrash, that Avram was 3 years old, which is quite precocious. Three-year-olds do ask good questions on occasion, but the pshat is that when he was three, it already bothered him. Something was off in the way he looked at the world, and it took all this time until he came to the appropriate conclusion. Once he had this great truth, he began to preach to everyone else in his hometown, to argue with them, tell them they're not living on the Derech Emes, the way of truth. Shibir Atzlomim, he broke their idols, the famous story about his father's idols. V'schil odi alom she'en roi lavod elo le'eloka olam. He told the people, it's only worthy to worship the one God. And of course, Avram challenged the power structure because of that. Nimrod, who had set himself up as a deity, Nimrod had Avram thrown into the fire of the Chaldees, the Ur, the furnace in his hometown. And of course he's saved, but he flees. He flees to Canaan, and then he leaves Canaan, and then he's told by God, Yilechecha me'artzecha. All of this happened before God spoke to him. Being thrown into the furnace, his preaching, his arguments with his countrymen, all of it came before God ever said a word to him, which only augments the greatness of Avram Avinu, that he really was Me'eva HaNahar, Avram Ivri, the other side of the river. Avram was unique in that he had both the knowledge and the strength of character to stand against his entire generation, all his contemporaries, and say, you're wrong. And I'll explain you why you're wrong, and I'll tell you why I'm right, and why the fact that I'm right will make your life better. And he did that at great personal risk, and all before God said a word to him. It's in response to that that we have that moment. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha. So I think it's important to say, this just adds to the points made last week, that the Kuzari says as well, philosophy always leaves room for doubt. You can always argue or not accept. That's why lech lecha me'artzecha, leave this land and go where I'll tell you to go, is one of the defining moments in history. Because when God spoke to Avram, you could throw everything else out the window. All the philosophy, all the doubts were gone. All the counter-arguments dissipated. It now was a new world that Avram encountered. And the certainty of revelation is what elevates our knowledge and gives us a connection to God that no one else has. We have a knowledge of God that no other nation can have, no other philosopher of the nations of the world can have. It's simply a different, more primary, and more substantive way of knowing God. And if we will say that other individuals also claim revelation, non-Jews, so we're not going to argue with people's faith. That's not what we ever have to do. One reason the Rav said we don't engage in theological dialogue, we don't have to challenge other people's faith. The fact is, there are people who claim that they receive revelations even today, shortly before they're committed. But nonetheless, they do make those claims. So we don't have to argue with anyone. We look back to Avram and then to Sinai, and that's what makes Sinai so indispensable and so unique. Avram, as we noted, was a revelation to a person. A lot of people have claimed private revelations, ad hayom, but a revelation to an entire people, never again duplicated, never again claimed throughout history, that's different. You can fake, you could falsely claim to have an individual revelation, and so the religions of the world are premised on individual revelations, whether to Jesus or John the Baptist or Muhammad or whoever else, but you can't fake a national public revelation, and that we'll discuss in greater detail next week. What I want to discuss now is actually the nature of revelation. What exactly is it? And this, we leave Rav's Yotzer Or for just a few minutes, with your kind permission. Well, brought the books tonight, I see. And I'll share with you some of the thoughts of Rav Ari Kaplan, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We should first look at the why of revelation, and then the how. Why did God reveal himself to man? Because again, it's a fundamental principle in Yadus that God conveys his will to mankind, especially to the Jewish people. So why? We should ask ourselves that question. Why was it necessary? Rav Sajigon writes in Emunos V'Deos at the end of Maimar Rishon, at the end of Perek Dalid, he's answering a question, why did God create the world? Many times philosophers dealt with this, but the third answer that he gives about why God created the world helps us understand this as well. And Rav Sajigon said, I'll read it in the Hebrew to spare the Arabic, Ratzo bozet to'eles habruim. God did it because he wanted the benefit of his creatures. V'mashamani gambo v'yavdu. In that he should guide them and they should be able to serve him. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayo. It's a beautiful pasuk. Ani aperek memches. Ani Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. Milamedcha lehoil. I teach you in order to bring you benefit. Madrichacha baderech teilech. I guide you along the path I want you to go. And that's Chasdei Hashem. That's God's kindness. You have to say it's part of creation as well. It would be absurd, really, to place man on earth. Animals gain things through instinct. We have an intellect that's superior, so we have to learn what to do, how to live. But God seeks the welfare, milamedcha lo'il, seeks the welfare of his creatures, so it's for our benefit. And that's an interesting understanding of the Gemara Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amed Aleph, Godol Mitzuva Ve'osa Mimisha Eino Mitzuva Ve'osa. The greater is the one who is commanded and does something than the one who's not commanded and does something. So one reason is, of course, because if you're not commanded, there's no Yetzer Hara, there's no counterforce, you just do it. If you want to, you're not commanded. If you don't want to, you don't do it. But the Ritva here, it quotes the Rashba. He says as follows, Rabbeinu HaGadol Zal Perash, Shamitzos Einon L'Hanos HaKel Yisbarach HaMitzaveh. The mitzos are not for the benefit, for the pleasure of God who commanded them, Elo L'Zchuseinu. They're for our benefit. They're for our merit. Umishu Mitzuveh Kiyem Gzeres HaMelech. Therefore, Gadol Mitzuveh V'Oseh, because the one who's commanded and does something, he has fulfilled the decree of the king. Ulafichach scharo merubeh yoser mizeh shalokiyam mitzvah samelach. Therefore, the reward of the commanded one is going to be greater because he has the advantage of having responded to the king's decree. We do mitzvahs not as people sometimes think because we're bringing some benefit to God. He wants us, he'll like us, etc. No, it's all ischutenu. It's all hanotenu. Like that's lech lecha. Lech lecha is la noscha. It's for your own good, God said to Avram. Leave those characters behind. Go to a new land. It's not going to be completely tranquil, but nonetheless you're in a better position. So too in a better position with mitzvos as well. And so too the Kuzri says, very interestingly, it's in the second Maimar, Perek Mem Ches and Mem Tes. He says that even a gang of robbers has a code of justice. Even people who are miscreants have to find some way of getting along. And these are the rational laws by which we live. But he said that Jews cannot just obey the rational laws that apply to all. Mitzvah sichlias, you know, not to kill, not to steal, etc. And disregard the rest. Be one thing if the gang of robbers, or for that matter, a more civilized society, enacts a body of laws that enables people to live serene lives. But for us, he said, that's not enough. It won't happen. If we abandon the mitzvos, eventually we abandon the mitzvos sichlios as well. He ends, Hayitochein sheyachazik ha-Yisraeli basos mishpat v'avas chesed v'yazov hamilo v'ashabos v'toras ha-Pesach u'shar ha-Toras v'yatzliach. Is it possible to suggest that a Jew should retain the propagation of justice and the performance of acts of kindness and forget about the more parochial, the more particularistic mitzvahs, Shabbos, Milah, Pesach, etc., the atzliach and be successful? So the king answers him, Omar Akuzari, lo, kafisha asher kedamta. It's not possible. It's only possible, according to the philosophers, who say that the most important thing is yi adam chosid. You have to be pious. What do people say out there in the world? Most important thing is be a good person. V'lo yargish beja da eza dashi iskarev. It makes no difference which religion you choose. In behis yahed, behis natser, or bezulasa. Whether you become a Jew, a Christian, a Muslim, etc. The philosophers say, makes no difference. Just be a chosid. O bedavashi badalatso. Make up a religion if the established religions don't suit you. By the way, that's a growing denomination in America today. Not just amongst the Jewish people, amongst the non-Jews, unaffiliated. 30%, 40% have no religion or have created their own religion, borrowing from here or there and finding a small group of fellow worshippers, of fellow travelers, Bodalatzmo. V'kukvar shavnu el ha'akasha v'asvara sichlid v'shakmus. He says, according to the philosophers, everyone could just create his own religion based on analogies and reasoning and speculation. V'yu kol b'nei odem ishtad m'kavah Torah b'mashem yivya ilov ha'kosh asom. And a person will then decide to establish any religion based on his own speculation. V'zeh batel. That would be absurd, to allow people to try to ascertain the way to live by looking inside themselves. That can't work. That is to say, God sought to convey his truth to man. Otherwise, man would always be groping in the dark. So what Revelation did is give mankind, essentially, the instruction manual by which God desires species man to live. And that's the instruction manual. It comes to us in the form of Taryag Mitzvos, 613 commandments. It comes to nations of the world in terms of Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, the seven Noachide laws. But those laws are there. That instruction manual is accessible to every human being in order to ascertain the right way to live. And the point has to be made as well that, you know, we are unreliable. Most people are not inclined, and it's Rabbeinu Bachya said in the Chovos HaLevavos, most people are not inclined after Hanhogas HaSeichel. Most people do not live being guided by their intellects. Most people are just not like that. They are moved by other things. They're captured by other things. I was in the car this afternoon, I turned the radio on, a commercial came, so I turned to the fan, and I heard John Idzik, you would think someone died. The general manager of the Jets, just carrying on. It's a live press conference, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. We've let down our fans, let down our family, our children, our grandchildren, on and on and on. I'm saying to myself, It's just the game. Play another game next week. Pay them the money. People come no matter how well or how poorly you play. That's no hanhagas haseichel. Because people live and die, they eat, drink, and breathe on things on which seichel do not really depend. Mipnei chalishas isuro bohem. They're just not accustomed to it. They're accustomed to following their whims, their emotions. They're just not attached to it. People can't follow their reason as a way of life because they're just not used to it. And the Rambam adds, so that's why you need a guide. The Rambam adds that we're all influenced by our environment. So left to our own devices, we would never attain the truth. And here's Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, Aloch Aleph, Derech Bria Social Adam, Lios Nimshach, B'deosav U'masav, Acha Re'ov V'chaveirov, Nohei K'minhag Anshei Medina. So most people, the way we live, the way we're created, the way we operate, is that we have to choose well our friends and our community because we're going to follow them in many respects. Their values will become our values. Their way of looking at the world will become our way of looking at the world. And so we also need, therefore, an independent source of morality. Can't always go by what the neighbors do, right? Your neighbor in shul talks to you is not the best influence. You can't go by what the neighbors do. You have to have an independent and objective source of morality. And that can only come to us through revelation. Every other mechanism that exists is unreliable. And of course, only through revelation, here I mean prophecy, can we know of things that are beyond our ken, like the future, like Yemos HaMashiach, like Olam Haba, the world to come. All these things we'll discuss, but we only know them through Nevuah. No man, Olam Haba, Ayin L'Rosach, Elokim Zvosecha, no human being can understand Olam Haba, if not for the fact Nevi'im speak about it and explain it to us, Yemos HaMashiach as well, so we would have no idea of that. And it's important that man should know there is a Mashiach, there is an Olam Haba, there is a future, there is a plan, right? All the Chazanei Nevi'im, the visions of the future, of our national future, all coming, all being realized in our time, they're all very important. So that's the why. If there's no revelation, man would be lost, as man was lost through Adam's time, and of course through Noach's time, until Ad Shenolad Amudo Shel Olam V'Avram Avinu, until the pillar of the world was created. So the question is how? What exactly is revelation? And here I admit it's a little esoteric. Not having had any revelations myself in the last week or two, I've forgotten the experience. But it's important to know that God arranged creation in such a way that man lives on a physical plane. We're physical beings, but we can also have access to the world of the spiritual. And that's how it takes place. Through this world, God makes his will known to man. So this process I can describe based on Chazal without fully grasping it, of course, because only those who've merited it can fully comprehend it, but it's not a psychological process, and it's not imagination, and it's not a vision such as we have in our sleep or dreams, although it does employ these human capabilities. It's a different experience altogether. And the difference between revelation and mere dreams is that we wake up from a dream and we know it's a dream. Sometimes immediately, sometimes not for a week or two, but we always eventually know that it's a dream. Revelation is as real as a physical sensation, and the recipient, having received the revelation, never doubts its authenticity. How he acts on it, how she acts on it, depends on their own character, but it's never doubted. It's very real. So as you know, the existence of prophecy is one of the fundamental principles of Yadus, one of the 13 of the Rambam. And in the Mora, in Perek Beis, in Perek Lamed Vav, the Rambam explains, and I'll just read it to you, four lines, and you'll see it's a little complicated. Da ki amitas hanavua ma'uto, you should know that the truth of prophecy and its essence, hu shefa shofem es Hashem Yisbarach, it's an emanation from God through the active intellect, meaning there's a flow of knowledge that exists in the world, and people at times can tune into that on one level, but through the Sechel HaPoel, al hakoach ha-divri t'chila v'achar kach yishpa al koach ha-medame. From the active intellect, through man's rational faculty, to our imaginative faculty. The imaginative faculty is how we understand ideas and process them as images. I think I mentioned here last week that if I would mention any abstract idea, love, freedom, hatred, when you hear the word, you think of something, an image, not the word, and not a dictionary definition. Freedom, maybe you think of a guy breaking out of his chains. Love, whatever. But that's how we act. That's how we think. That's how the human brain works. It's always through the imaginative faculty, and that's how nevuah, revelation, comes to people as well. But it's not coming from them. It's coming into them. From the seichel poel, which emanates from God, through the rational faculty, through the imaginative faculty. This is the highest level that man can reach, and it's the purpose of perfection to which our species aspires. It represents the perfection of the imaginative faculty. This is a critical point. It's impossible for any person to acquire this, to achieve that level, except through intellectual perfection, moral perfection, and then, of course, the kicker, God has to choose him. As a person can strive for a high level, in the time of Tanakh, when Nevuah was more prevalent, there were people called the Bnei HaNeviim, remember from Elisha's time, the Bnei HaNeviim, it's Haftorah, Parshas Vayer starts, one of the Bnei HaNeviim. The Bnei HaNeviim were students who were training themselves to be prophets, but it only worked if God chose them. You have a lot of frustrated prophets, then and now, by the way, but certainly then. That's the Bnei, if God doesn't choose you, it's not going to happen. It comes from God. The choice is God's. And there are different levels of revelation. And this is also important to know. The lowest level, the Rambam says what he calls Ezer Eloki, divine assistance, which, for all we know, could happen to us also. What's Ezer Eloki? You need to find at a certain point the right thing to say or the right thing to do, a decision, go either way, and suddenly have an inspiration. You know, this is the right way. Have that ever happened to you? So yes. Ever happened? That's Ezer Eloki. It could exist for everybody who's on a level. A higher level, of course, Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, talk about in a second. Then you have prophecy, Nevuah, and then you have Nevuah's Moshe, Moshe's prophecy, which is sui generis. It's a prophecy unlike all others, because then Moshe was completely awake. He wasn't a vision, wasn't a dream, was completely awake with every part of him functioning. Ruach HaKodesh, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Zayin, Uva'esha tanuach alav haruach, tisarev nafsho b'malas hamalochim anikram ishim. When the Ruach HaKodesh, the Divine Spirit, the Holy Spirit, rests upon him, so his soul almost becomes bound up on the level of angels. V'yafech lishacher, he becomes a different person. V'yavin b'dato she'eino kemo shehoyo ela she'nis'ale al ma'ila shar b'nei adam ha'chachamim. He'll understand things differently. He understands things not attainable through human logic. He exists on a different plane than others can exist. You can't say it for sure about anybody, but many of the early Acharonim, I don't want to mention any names, many of the early Acharonim said, look at the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, the way he was able to synopsize the entire Talmud, all right, and combine all the Svaros with the precision of his language. That's Ruach HaKodesh. A human being can't do these things. I mean, for that matter, if you just take out one tshuva of Harav Avadya Yosef, and you see every tshuva, every topic is like an encyclopedia presented. And most of these were dictated without him checking Svarim. He just quote the sources, dozens, one after another, and then have them transcribed. It's not human. I mean, that's superhuman. That's a level of Ruach HaKodesh. In certain cases, Ruach HaKodesh, a person can speak and write without even being aware of it. The higher level, though, is prophecy. Because in prophecy, the barrier of the body, which usually prevents us from attaining all ideas, is limited. You can't say it's removed, but it's certainly limited. And then one's intellect is free to attain direct knowledge of the spiritual. Of course, and this is a critical point in understanding Nevuah, if as humans, our body is never completely removed from us. We're always physical, except for Moshe Rabbeinu. Lechem lo chalti, mayim lo shasisi. 40 days, 40 nights on the mountain, didn't eat or drink, because he really lost the human function, so to speak, up there, and became v'techaser ma'atmei Elokim. That's why prophetic visions always take place through the human senses, and that's why each Navi had his own signon, his own style, with some giving very physical descriptions of what they saw, conveying God's message in very physical ways. Makel Shaked Aniroeh, whole vision of Yecheskel, the Masa Merkava, fire chariots, images of different animals, and some had no physical imagery at all to relate. Of course, that someone is Moshe Rabbeinu, the only one on the level to do that. So perfect for a Navi, a perfect mental state is required, and a balanced emotional state is required as well. What does a Navi do? That's the how. It works from the active intellect, the rational faculty, to one's imaginative faculty, and then it comes out in images and then words that he expresses. So Navi is simply a conveyor of a niv is a speech. A niv is a message. God sends a Navi, a niv, a message to communicate. And of course at Sinai, that's where the greatest message of all was communicated to all of us. Vaydaber Elokim eis kol hadrimo elo lemor anochi Hashem Elokecha. So in fact, Sinai becomes that moment in time where all present achieve the level of nevuah, a level of prophecy, a revelation of divine. Notice that Avram's vision came upon him as a shock. God appeared Machazeh, all right? It was at night. Al tira Avram, God said to Avram. And then a few psukim later, again, it's this week's Sedra, Vayyeh Shemesh Lavo, the sun was about to set, V'tardemo naflal Avram. Sleep, a deep sleep, fell upon Avram Avinu. Like some people here now. I'm kidding. V'ne emacha shecha gedolo nofel asalav. It was a dark trembling, a shock came over Avram. It was trepidation. He was afraid. That was his first experience of Nevuah. No, Chazal said that Bris Ben Absorim came before Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. But it was real. What Avram experienced at Lech Lecha, what Avram experienced at Bris Ben Absorim was real. So real, he responded Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, and so real that he responded Lech Lecha El Eretz HaMoriah at the Akedah, responded again. For all the trials Avram withstood, it was because he had a real vision, not just a commitment, but a vision. Even Avram's vision, though, and his greatness, like I said earlier, is insufficient in a certain sense because it was private and therefore inaccessible to others. So we believe in Avram's prophecy only because of Sinai, which is the national revelation of God to the Jewish people. It's the classic, unprecedented and unduplicated revelation of God and His will to an entire nation. That is to say, God's revelation, this is quoting Harav again, God's revelation was first to one man and then to what he calls historical man, Adam Historit. Historical man is the Jewish nation, the representatives of God before mankind. That's why we're an eternal people. As much as people try to eliminate us. We're an eternal people because all of us share in that revelation. We all share in that historical moment and in that destiny as well. We don't say that God just spoke to them. We say God spoke to Am Yisrael. He spoke to everyone who would have a connection, who has a connection to Am Yisrael, who will have a connection to Am Yisrael, even past our time. So it may not be part of our individual memory, but it's part of our historical memory, and it's part of our national genetic structure. Anyone part of the revelation, anyone part of the Jewish people, is part of that revelation. Rav had a very interesting analogy. It's like the cells of the body keep regenerating, keep changing. So we could go through, the doctors will correct me if I'm wrong, the cells could change how often? 90% of the cells, every couple of years. So are we different people because we're different, have different cellular structure? No, we're the same people with different cells. That's Am Yisrael. We're the same Am Yisrael who stood at Sinai and heard Anach Hashem Elokecha. It's the same until today, we're just different cells. Because those words, and of course Hashem's words to the Nevi'im, live on. God's revelation lives on as well. That's Kol Gadol V'lo Yasof. So survival, just to buttress the point, revelation made us into God's nation for all of history. And so the survival of the Jewish people, this is an area we didn't discuss last week, and the survival of the Jewish idea is itself proof of God's existence and the revelation. No, there's no... Our existence is nothing short of miraculous. I mean, we take it for granted because we live it, but it's nothing short of miraculous. There's nothing in the world to compare to it. A nation that's decimated and battered and exiled twice and then scattered across the globe in every possible hostile environment one can conjure. And then, as it's predicted, not in the codes, but in the Torah itself, in Nitzavim and Hazinu, and then again and again in the Nevi'im, that the time would come you to return to your nation, turn to your homeland, and establish sovereignty again. So that is a nes. That nes. That's a fulfillment of what the Nevi'im said. That the revelation goes through us, provides us with that eternity. So the fact that we survived and return to Israel, and retain prominence on the world stage, and are always in everyone's mouth, and on the front pages of the newspapers, all that is a function of Vayomer Hashem El Avram Lechocha Me'artzecha, and the revelation of Anochi Hashem Elokecha as well. So revelation gave us the secret to life, the way to live, and it's also the primary means through which we recognize God. And of course I noted last week, as the Kuzari wrote, the Dibros did not begin, Anoch Hashem Elokecha, Asher Barasi Shemaim V'aretz, I'm the Lord your God who created heaven and earth. That's not how it begins. It begins, Anoch Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hatzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. No one there was an eyewitness to creation. Everyone there was a witness to the Exodus. And that's how we relate to God ultimately. We are the vehicle through which this revelation continues. That's what the Novi said about us, was Haftorah a week ago. Atem Edai Num Hashem. God says, you are my witnesses. So we are God's witnesses, and that's what gives us eternity. Yes?
Just in passing, the Kinyan Sefer, how do you understand that Abraham had to go through this in
so, right. I mean, why was Avram tested? Yes. All right, so we could adopt the Ramban's approach at the beginning of the story of the Akedah. There the Ramban says that Avram was tested, like all human beings are tested to some extent, to actualize his potential. The things that Avram was capable of, lahavdil, the things that we're capable of as well, sometimes we don't really know we're capable of them until we're challenged. So we're challenged, so then we're able to, if we overcome it, we're able to shine. So the Medrash this week, Sedra says that just like a potter doesn't strike a vase or piece of pottery unless he knows it's not going to break, so too God does not give us a little clop unless he knows we're not going to break either. We're very resilient people, but then it becomes a test. That's an isayon. It's a test of how we're going to respond, how we're going to relate to the event, relate to other people as well. That is a big test. Avram has it. Everyone has it. I saw something a few weeks ago. I think it was Rav Amichai Gordon, who's a Ram at Har Etzion. He said that when a tragedy happens, he was talking about a lot of things in Israel happened in the summer. He said, you know, people tend to always ask, Lama, why? And that's an unanswerable question, because the question should be not Lama, but Lama. For what purpose? What can we get out of it? What can we contribute? Lama, it's the same word, but Lama is much different than Lama. Lama is a cry. Lama is emotional. Lama is practical. It's substantive. It's functional. We say Lama, then that's the proper response to Nisoyon. And of course, our master, our teacher in that is Avraham Avinu. Because we saw each time how he was challenged. Amad Bechulam, he withstood all of them and only grew in esteem, both, of course, in ours and even his contemporaries. They saw Nesi Elokim Atabasochenu, you know, your Prince of God. How many Jews today can we say that the nations of the world will say of them, Nesi Elokim Atabasochenu? We have to get them in the newspapers a little more, maybe. But we could use a few more of those. All right, so the question then becomes twofold. First, how do we know the truth of revelation? Maybe that itself was fabricated. And second, the question our Rav raises here, it's on page 40, Ech nagia l'shichnu apnimi amok shachein mamad ar sinai yahoveh v'yeh. How can we come to a deep, profound, internal realization that mamad ar sinai took place and still lives on? How do we reach that stage? Those two questions we'll answer next time. Not next week. I should be in Dallas next week. So 2 weeks from tonight, November 10th. What's that? No, I'm in Dallas. They don't play. Yeah. All right. I thank you all very much.